And let's jump into the Word of God. We're going to continue. Been sharing some thoughts we have for a few weeks on these kind of a theme that we've been sharing from called In Him We Have. You know, it's great to find out what you have in Christ, or your, you know, we taught a little bit on your identity in Christ. And so we're going to just take this short time that we have and continue from what we were sharing on Sunday on the love of God, and in Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in Him we have some things. In Him we have righteousness. God made us righteous in Christ. We have His righteousness. We have His redemption in Him. We have healing in Christ. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We have wisdom. We have peace. And one of the things that we've been sharing on from this last Sunday was that we've been what's been shed abroad in our hearts is the love of God. So we wanted to just kind of expand a little bit on that. We could take a number of lessons and just talk about that, but we just want to highlight some things, and if you open your heart and receive, it'll change you. You know, one of the things that I shared with folks on Sunday is that about four years ago, I made a decision. You know, the things that you want to grow in Christ, and anyone who's hungry for the things of God, you know, you're always making commitments or consecrations as you grow. And what do I mean by that? That you may reach a certain level and you say, Lord, I consecrate myself to You. I endeavor to seek You with all of my heart. And those are commitments that we make as we grow in the things of God. And so about 4 years ago, I made a commitment that I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and actually I just read all 13 verses, but I committed to do that every day. And sometimes I read it two or three times a day. And so what I had shared is that over these 3 or 4 years, that I've noticed that things that would, let's say, push buttons don't have the same effect on me. Now, does that mean that you're not going to miss it? Yeah, you're going to miss it, but you're going to find that the things that caused you to miss it won't cause you to miss it like you did in the past. And so if we're going to grow in Christ, then we're going to need to grow in this area of love. And one of the things that Brother Hagin taught before he left this earth is he spent a good portion of his time teaching on the love of God. And this is just an area I would say that, you know, if we're going to grow in God, faith worketh by love, then we're going to need to grow in this particular area. If we want to grow in faith, then we're going to need to grow in the love of God. So let's start this evening. And, you know, one of the things when it says we have something, you know, even in Colossians 1 and 13 and 14, and the same also in Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7, but in Colossians 1 and 13 it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So when the scripture says, in whom we have, well, when you have something, you know, when you go to somebody and you say, well, I have this, well, that means you have possession of it. You said, I got some money in my pocket, or I have some food, or I have whatever, you have it. That means you have possession of something. And if you have possession of something, then that means you have the ability to do something with it. Now, you could have possession of something and do nothing with it. And that's always the key. So if you have possession of something, then that means you have the ability to do something with that which you have. So in this case here, let's take a look at Romans chapter 1. And let me just see here. Let me read in the King James, and then we'll read the New Living Translation. But I wanted to read the King James because it expresses it a little differently than the New Living. But starting in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means we have peace. So when people are looking for peace, they already have it. And what else does it say? By whom, or by Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or you could say endurance, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we have peace. We have what? Access by faith into this grace. And we have the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So if that's the case, based on the scripture, then why is it? So we have possession of the love of God. We have possession of peace. We have possession of faith. Then why aren't we seeing people operate in the love of God, or operating only at a certain level? Well, that means it has to be developed and exercised. Now let's take a look at verse in the New Living Translation, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right with God, right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Verse 4, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So God loves us, and we know that he loves us because what? And this here, it says, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. I like this in the Jordan translation. In verse 5, it says, and God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Spirit he provided us. You know, sometimes when something's off, you know, and the love transfusion means something was taken out and replaced it with, right? So something was removed and replaced. There was a transfusion. So that old nature was removed. And what? Love was brought in. Why? Because God took up residence. So any man be in Christ, he is what? A new person, a new creation. And so we have now the love of God that's in us. And that's why we share this, that, and the scripture bears this out, it is not possible to love with the God kind of love unless you've had this love transfusion. So you can't love people with the God kind of love. Now you can love people with a human kind of love, which a lot of times we always say has conditions. I'll love you if, and then if somebody doesn't do something, then we're not loving them. With what? The God kind of love. God kind of love has no preconditions, has no prerequisites. You know, a lot of times when we talk about prerequisites, you know, we talk about, you know, it brings to mind, you know, insurance. And you talk about any kind of insurance, they'll say, okay, well, if you have these preconditions or these things that went on, we're not going to insure you, or we may consider something. You know, sometimes they'll say, well, if you smoked or you did this or you did this, then we're not going to cover you the same way. Well, that's a precondition. Well, God, when we were yet sinners, loved us and died for us and took our sins and sicknesses in our place. So there were no conditions. He loved us when we didn't love him. And so there was this transfusion of love in us that now gives us the ability to love people that are not lovely. Love people that don't love you. And it's going to take that in order to love people. It's going to take the God kind of love. So what are we saying? You cannot love with the God kind of love unless you've been born again. So let's take a look. That being the case, let's take a look at 1 John 4:7 in the King James. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, that Greek word there is agapeo, loveth is a verb. Love is, and it says love is of God, that's a noun, that's agape. Well, this is an action. Everyone that loveth is born of God, and what? Knoweth God. And verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And thank God, God has taken up residence in each one of us that know him, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, just because it has, that means now I must act upon that which I say I have. So you have to act upon something that you have. And that means that love is in me. I may not feel like loving somebody, and I may even miss it. But that's why we have God. We can go and say, you know, God, and here's the thing. Once we start to act upon the love of God and we miss things, God is responsible to watch over his word to perform it, and he'll let us know what? On the inside. He'll let us know that our actions, our words, something we did, it just wasn't right. It wasn't, that was not love. And the more we do, the more sensitive we'll become to his ways. Hallelujah. So let's take a look. We were looking at this on Sunday in the New Living Translation in John 15. In verses 4 through 4 and 5 in the New Living Translation, because we need to stay what? Connected to God, connected to the vine, connected to the source of the love of God, the source. John 15, in verse 4, it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is that saying? Apart from the love of God, you can't produce the love of God. Apart from him, the source, you cannot operate in the love of God. If you walk in, let's say, I would just say sin, but if you're walking in hatred, you're walking in fear, you can't operate in the love of God, because that's what it says. Fear casteth out love casteth out all fear. So if we're operating in fear, you can't operate in the love of God. And so that's why God is saying, stay connected with me. Stay connected in me. In verse 10 and 11 and 12 of that chapter, it says, when you obey my commandments, you do what? You remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So what are we saying? When you make a decision to operate in the love of God, it just because you miss it doesn't mean that you're not remaining in his love. It just means that you're exercising, you missed it. Say, you know what, Lord, I that wasn't right. Forgive me. But as you determine to remain and obey, this is what it says, when you obey my commandments, even when you don't feel like it, if you decide to obey, what does this say? You remain in his love. Isn't that's good. So this isn't about feeling. This is about a decision from where? The heart. For where the heart makes a choice and a decision. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the abundance of the heart come your decisions and your choices. So when you decide, it's not a head choice. It's not something because, you know, pressure can make you change choices if it doesn't come from the heart. When you decide from the heart, there's nothing that will move you. I'm doing this. It's just like people that make decisions to do anything in life. They've made a what? A heart choice. And then it goes on, verse 12, it said, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I want to, before we continue, I just like to do this And let's, you can follow along in the Amplified Classic in verses, chapter 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And I think it's good. I read it every day, multiple times sometimes. And the watering of the word, you know, what does Psalm 119, 130 say? The entrance of his word giveth light. It exposes things. It gives revelation. It reveals things. So when you let the word of God in, just letting it in, Lord, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to let the light of that expose me, expose my heart, expose the inner parts of my heart so that it can expose or shine light in on things that maybe God wants to correct or change or show you that it needs to change. And so here, 1 Corinthians, let's read this along here together. And verse 4, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not, it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Glory to God. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Verse 8, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Now, I'm going to read this. This is another translation. This is actually Jack Hayford's translation, who went to heaven recently. But I'm going to read along, and you follow along as I read this. This is starting in verse 4. Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is not possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Boy, we could stop right there. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. Praise God. You know, these are, I like to read different translations because they may say it in a way that maybe shed some light in each of our hearts that may cause us or move us to make some changes. And, you know, I know, you know, just reading stories about Brother Hagin, you know, as he was growing up, he said he decided to walk in the love of God because he began to see from the Word of God how important it was. And so, and the command that Jesus gave, that we are to walk in the love of God, and that when we do, he said, the world would know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. And so he said, people began to, you know, around him, and say, aren't you going to say something about that to, you know, that this person, they said this, they said it. He said, no, I'm not going to say anything. And he said, they began to question him and say, maybe you have some kind of a character defect. Maybe there's something wrong with you. And, you know, anytime we begin to walk in God's way, it's contradictory to the way the world handles things. And the love of God overcomes evil. And so we are to, in John, I like, the, and I'm sorry, in 1 Corinthians 14, in the New Living Translation, in the first verse, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. I like this in the Message translation in verse 1. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. I just want to stop there. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Now, I want to take a moment, just for a few moments, and take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to take a look at the New Living Translation. And we'll just take a few moments here and look at these verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 in the New Living Translation. God's word is something. It is life and revelation. It says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Now this is what I wanted to focus on a little bit. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Praise God. But let me read this in the New International Version and then some other translations. The New International Version of verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. We need to be rooted, and the King James says grounded. This says rooted and what? Established in love, in the love of God. Now listen, this is the Laubach translation. It says, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of His love. Wow. So that just makes me think of the parable of the sower and talking about the seed being sown in good ground. So the seed, being the Word of God, is sown into the ground of what? His love. And this says here again, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of His love. And we can see here how important the love of God is. And this is the Living Bible. In verse 17 of Ephesians 3, it says, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust Him. May your roots, talk about your faith roots, go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And this is God's Word translation. It says, then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. So a lot of times we talk about the foundation of our faith, but it's the roots of our faith that are going down deep into the soil or the foundation of God's love. Why is that? Because He said, God is love, and He never changes. He's without variableness nor shadow of turning. So that foundation will never move. And so because God is love, I can do what? I can trust Him. He is faithful. That's why when it says, hold fast the confession of your faith, for He is faithful that what? Promised. So I can trust God, and my expectation is based on faith, but that faith is grounded in what? God, God's love. He loves me, and He's not going to ever leave me nor forsake me. So my trust in God is really based on, and the roots of that trust grow down deep into the ground or the foundation of his love. And then we were sharing again 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the King James, in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, "And the Lord make you to do what? Increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So we are to do what? Increase and abound in the love of God. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be developed. It needs to be acted upon. And so the faith we act are what does it say in Galatians? Faith worketh by love. And so that love is the ground or foundation that my faith roots go down into. And so my faith can increase, and as my faith increases, it means what? My love is increasing. Hallelujah. Now, we shared this on Sunday, and I want to just conclude again with this, because I really believe this strongly, that the unity of the church is really based around and upon the love of God. That's why I absolutely do not like schism. And I don't like this. It bothers me. It says we are to hate those things that God hates. God hates strife and division. And when we see division in the church, we need to stand up and pray against it. And the things that the devil wants, he does not want the church collectively to walk in the love of God, because when we do, there's unity and harmony, and he has no place to get in and create problems. So let's take a look. We'll just close with this in New Living Translation, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which does what? It binds us all together in perfect harmony." And this is the a Johnson, a paraphrase, and in Colossians 3:14. It says, "As the most important piece of new clothing, be sure to wear love, because love is the evidence of maturity." And as I said Sunday, it can also be the evidence of a lack of maturity. So as we grow in the love of God and we grow in our love towards one another, it does what? It shuts the door to the devil. It shuts the door to his ways. It fosters unity and harmony. Does it mean that we have to agree with everything and everybody? No. But it does mean that I'm going to operate in the love of God, and I'm going to honor someone, and I'm going to respect them. The Living Bible in Colossians 3:14. It says, "Most of all, let love guide your life. For then the whole church," see this right here? "For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony." So as we let the love of God guide our life, it will foster perfect harmony amongst us. So what does that mean? That can mean in your home. You can create perfect harmony in your home by doing what? Letting love guide your life. It can create perfect harmony in a home, in a marriage, in friendships. It can create perfect harmony. When you don't see harmony, then it's strife. When you don't see harmony in society, And that means that whether it's between churches, between races of people, between political parties, whatever it is, when you don't see perfect harmony, that means there's no love. There's a lack of love, or there's immaturity in this area. And so what do we need to do? We need to make a decision that I'm going to walk in the love of God. I am going to. And we are going to do what? Help foster the love of God and harmony. Because as the scripture says in Matthew, we are going to stand before God and give an account for every useless, idle word. And so we want to make sure that the words that are coming out of our heart are unctioned by the love of God. Does that mean that we have to agree? We can disagree on something, but do it in the love of God. Now here's one last scripture. This is the New Life Translation, Colossians 3:14. It says, love holds everything and everybody together. So again, as we were sharing from Ephesians, let's look at that one more time in God's Word translation. Ephesians 3:17 says, then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. So what is the greatest thing of all? It's not faith. Even though Jesus said great faith, and he talked about great faith, but if there's great faith, then there's great trust and love in God. Glory to God. So make a commitment this year. Make a decision that you're going to decide, or make a decision that you're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, either 1 through 13 or verses 4 through 8. Read it in the Amplified. Read it in whatever translation, and let that light of that word shine in on your heart, and over time, it will change you. It'll change. It's such that the love of God will change you from what? The inside out. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that the love of God is shining in our hearts and changing us, changing our attitudes, changing our thoughts, renewing our minds, changing us. And we thank you, Father, and we let the love of God shine through us and operate through us so that there's harmony in the church, there's harmony among our friendships, there's harmony on our job and in our marriages, and we commit to operate in the love of God, and we come against every evil thought, and we cast down vain thoughts and imaginations in Jesus' name. You know, as I'm praying, you know, so often I've heard this, and you know, it's a statement that's not based in Scripture. You know, sometimes I've heard this from individuals in marriages that said, well, when they conduct themselves a certain way, I'll operate a certain way. That's not love. Love holds no account of what's been done to them. Jesus didn't go to the cross and say, well, when they get it all together, I'll go to the cross. We'd still be on our way to hell. So love is what? In other words, there's no conditions. It's unconditional. So that means that you love someone regardless of how they respond to you. And the love of God, if it's genuine, and it comes from your heart, it will impact that other person. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, before we receive our offering this evening, I'd just like to extend for those that may be watching that don't know Jesus as your Savior. And you've never made, maybe you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Maybe you even believe that he was raised from the dead. But there has to be an affirmation. There has to be a confession from your heart, out of your mouth, that Jesus is the Christ. He is your Savior. And you believe and confess that he was raised from the dead. Because when you do that, you're affirming that he paid for your sins and he was raised by the power of God. And in your life, he is doing what? He is changing you. So why don't we say this, if that's you and you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you never did that, and you never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you haven't said that, let's do that very simply. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He is my Savior. And I ask him to come into my heart. I believe and say with my mouth that he was raised from the dead. And I believe that he has changed me and changed my heart. And I believe that he has now taken up residence and cleansed me with his blood. And I ask you now to make something new of me. And I commit to serve you all the days of my life and obey you. If you did that, just drop us a note or an email or call us and let us know that you have asked Jesus to come into your heart, and we'll send you some information, some free information, as to who you have become in Christ Jesus. Glory to God.